Well, good morning, pilgrims walking with Jesus. It's May 1st, and I'm excited as we begin our walk through the Gospel of Mark in May. Mark in May, M-N-M, not Eminem, the rap singer, not M-N-M, the candy that melts in your mouth, not in your hand, but M-N-M. Mark in May. All right, I hope you're excited too. I'm sitting here with the sun coming up on a beautiful morning. The sun shining on my Bible right here as I look at it. I've got my cup of kava tea here, and I've got my candle going, my sandalwood vanilla candle. I'm trying to set the mood for you. What a beautiful morning. Each morning we'll begin with the words from Sarah Young's Jesus Calling. It's words written as if Jesus is talking to us. So the monks are ready. I'm ready. I hope you're ready, whatever time of the day you may be listening. But just start to relax right now and let these words settle on your heart, speak to you, and bring you to a resting place. Jesus says, "You are on the path of my choosing. There is no randomness about your life. Here and now comprise the coordinates of your daily life." Most people let their moments slip through their fingers, half-lived. They avoid the present by worrying about the future or longing for a better time and place. They forget that they are creatures who are subject to the limitations of time and space. They forget their Creator, who walks with them only in the present. Every moment is alive with my glorious presence to those whose hearts are intimately connected with mine. As you give yourself more and more to a life of constant communion with me, you will find that you simply have no time for worry. Thus, you are freed to let my Spirit direct your steps, enabling you to walk along the path of peace. And let's close with some scripture from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 25 and 26, which affirms what we just heard from Jesus, when Jesus says there, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" Amen. That's Sarah Young from her devotion, Jesus Calling. Now let's begin our reading, and this is going to be very simple. This isn't a Bible class. We're not going to become Bible scholars. We're just going to get to know Jesus. And I'm so excited about this, and it's going to be good for me, I know, because I love Jesus so much, and this is how I got to meet him, just reading the Gospels. And the Gospel of Mark is one of my favorites, just a couple things about it. Most scholars believe it was the first Gospel written, probably maybe around 53 to 60 A.D., some 30 years or so after Jesus. So if you imagine that Jesus lived during our time and was crucified in 2020, this would be written in about 2053 or 2060. So, just something to keep in mind. Also, the author, Mark, is known to be a man named John Mark, who was a younger one of the disciples, who was a nephew, actually, we believe, of Barnabas. Barnabas, who was a great benefactor of Paul. John Mark probably walked with Paul on some of his mission trips. And all that being said, this is probably the closest thing we have to the Gospel of Peter. We know Peter is such a major figure in the New Testament, and Mark was very close. And this may just have been the record of Peter that Mark recorded, and his name ended up being on it. But enough of that scholarly stuff. I'm going to read Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 20 out loud. If you have a Bible, you can follow along, although I kind of recommend that you just kind of sit and listen and let these words touch you and absorb them in your heart. We'll read through once, and then I'll read through again with just some commentary, just as kind of a reminder and a little depth. And then I suggest that you either read through a third time on your own or later in the day, maybe before you go to bed tonight, read through it again. Three good readings is what the monks have taught me. It's called Lectio Divino, sacred reading, sacred listening. You read through your scripture three times. All right, are you ready? Let me have a sip of tea here. Get a little whiff of that sandalwood vanilla candle with the sun coming in. How exciting is this? The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in my prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Wow. There's a lot going on there. And Mark has a way of cutting it right down to just what's necessary. I've often said his gospel is more like an itinerary with quick little summaries of where Jesus was and what he did and where he stopped, and let's move on to the next thing. Again, it's short gospel, 16 chapters, very concise, but so much going on, and we're halfway through the first chapter. So I'm going to walk right through it again with you one time, and then we'll leave it be for your heart and your reading to read again these verses. So, you probably noticed right away, if you didn't notice, that the Gospel of Mark does not open with a birth story like Matthew or Luke does. It opens with the words, "the beginning." Now, that's kind of interesting because we have two other books of the Bible that open with the word, "the beginning." Mark says the beginning of the good news. Genesis says in the beginning. And the Gospel of John says in the beginning. So if we think about these in, say, historical sequential order of these three books of the Bible that all begin with the beginning, well, sequentially, John's would come first because John says, in the beginning was the Word. And he tells us that the Word was with God. He tells us the Word was God. Indeed, the Word is Jesus. And he tells us that Jesus was with God before the beginning. So John takes us back before Genesis 1 to tell us that Jesus was indeed the universal Christ that is God, that did create all of creation. So that would be first sequentially, you see. Second would be Genesis, when the world, the universe, is created. And now third would be Mark. And what Mark is saying is something, a new creation is happening. Something so amazing that we have to start again. For me, this means let's put the past aside. Let's believe what Mark is going to tell us. That's what matters for today. The beginning, and what is it? It's the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. His ministry is the beginning. Not his birth, but his ministry that started with him being baptized by his cousin John. So that's where we start in Mark. And he takes us right in to two quotes from a couple prophets in chapters 2 and 3, Isaiah and Malachi. And then he takes us into John the Baptist. And here we get a character, his cousin, out preparing the way in the wilderness. Lets us know that a third prophet in his writing in this chapter, he's the third prophet to appear, is the last prophet. Because with John, we now have Jesus. Jesus has come, the Messiah, the one that all the prophets called for, has now come. He's here. And of course, John tells us he's not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. He also tells us this, John might be baptizing us with water to cleanse us. You know, that's a great Jewish ritual, is to be cleansed in the water. That's nothing really unusual, to prepare us for worship or whatever it might be as a Jew. But to say, I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's verse 8. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Again, reinforcing God's doing something new. A Holy Spirit will be available to you as you give your life to Him. Something brand new in the life of human beings. The greatest gift we could get is the gift of that Holy Spirit. And John tells us that. Well, then Jesus comes to be baptized by John to show us what we're called to do. And the scripture says a spirit descended on him like a dove. See verse 10? I don't know what your translation might say. The Spirit descended like a dove. Not a dove, which often we see in paintings and banners. We see the dove coming down for baptism. That's just a metaphor, you see, for how the Spirit descended on him. But through that cleansing and baptism, through him surrendering and giving his heart away, just like us when we're baptized, then the Spirit descends on us. And our lives are never the same. Immediately after he's baptized, right? Verse 12, immediately after he's baptized, the scripture says immediately, that spirit that descended on him drove him out into the wilderness. So this is really important because we tend to think of the wilderness as a difficult place, a dark place, a struggling place for us, a place we would rather not be. Right? But the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. Verses 12 and 13. You see, we are often in wilderness places in our life. That never stops in our life. In and out of wilderness, of darkness, of desert places, of dryness maybe, dryness of the spirit, whatever it may be for you, loneliness, depression, right? Those are very important times for you and God to be together, for God to work on you, to take you to the next level, to bring you out of that wilderness, out of that darkness, stronger than ever. Wilderness, very sacred place for all of us. It's not that God's going to take away our wilderness and our darkness. No, but he's going to lead us through it and make us stronger. So soon as Jesus comes out of the wilderness, and in Mark, it's only two chapters. We'll get some longer versions of that in other Gospels. But as soon as he comes out, John was arrested. And so John kind of leaves the scene, and now Jesus steps in to take his place. And that's when he says the most amazing words in the whole Gospel of Mark. The first words Jesus ever said, I want you to look to verse 15. He says this, and he's saying it to you today. The time is fulfilled. Whatever you've been waiting for, whatever God has planned for you in this world, it's been done. It's here. It's waiting for you. There is no other thing to be done. There is no other time to wait for. This is the time. The time has been fulfilled. And the kingdom of God has come near. It's right here with you. It's all around you. As one version of Luke says, it's at your doorstep every morning, right? Amen. And it's within you. This is what we've been waiting for all these years of the Old Testament, to have the kingdom of God come to us. That means that whatever is available to us in heaven is now available to us in earth. We can live this heavenly, God-partnered, God-centered life right here and now. How do we do that? Well, he tells us in verse 15, repent and believe. Repent means turn. Your life is facing a direction, whether you are doing it intentionally or not. And more than likely, it's facing the world in a lot of ways. You're looking to the world for your references, for your support, for your peace, for your sustenance. And Jesus says, turn, not to leave it, but to turn from the world and use God as your reference point in your life. Center your life on God. If you do, all those things that you have been looking at in the world will get better. They might change, but they will be better, because God's way is always better. Repent, turn. Pray about that today. Lord, help me repent and help me turn towards you, and help me believe and trust that this is the good news, the news you have already prepared for me, a life you've already called me to, waiting in front of me, that I can now come to through you and only through you, just as your Son Jesus has shown me. Love that verse. Probably one of my all-time favorites, Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Well, then Jesus immediately goes to call his first four disciples, right? He goes to the Sea of Galilee. And I guess if you're going to be looking for people to help you fish for people, you go to the seashore and look for fishermen. And Simon and Andrew, the two brothers, Simon who becomes Peter. And remember, this is more or less the gospel of Peter. Simon and Andrew are casting their nets, and Jesus says this in verse 17, and he's saying it to you today, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. That's it. That's your calling. No matter what the specifics of your calling might be, I will make you fish for people. And here's what Scripture says in verse 18. Look at this. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Do you think they believed? You think they repented? That's the definition of repent and believe. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And you can do that today. You can drop those nets, those burdens. You can empty that backpack. You can give it all to God and walk with him just for today. Just try it for today. Walk with him. Leave the nets. Leave the boat and walk with Jesus. And they went a little further and they picked up two more, right? The sons of Zebedee, James and John. And I just imagine as we finish our scripture for today, there's Zebedee doing his usual thing, working on his boat with his hired man. He's got his sons with him, and one day he's going to proudly turn over that fishing business to his sons, James and John, and this itinerant rabbi preacher with long hair comes walking along the shore with two other young fishermen and says, follow me, and immediately his sons get up and walk away. They leave. They repent, right, and believe the good news. They follow Jesus. I don't know what it is you're looking at today, what it is you're clung to, what it is your attachment is, but Jesus is coming down your seashore this morning, and he's saying, follow me, and I will show you the good news. And thus we have the gospel according to Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. And that concludes our morning scripture today, and I hope to be with you again tomorrow when we will pick up with Mark 1, verse 21 through the end of the chapter. Amen, hallelujah, and amen.